Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
This final petition of the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther says, brings it all together. In fact, he says, the entire substance of all our prayer, speaking of the Lord's Prayer, is directed against our chief enemy, for it is he who hinders among us everything we pray for, God's name or honor, God's kingdom and will, our daily bread, a cheerful good conscience, and so forth. Therefore, we finally sum it all up and say, Dear Father, grant that we be rid of all these disasters. The words themselves, deliver us from evil, need some explanation as well. We're going to be talking about that petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday afternoon, October the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday, Pastor Christopher Eskett, Pastor Stephen Tice, and Pastor Peter Kirby will be joining them in just a moment. In the second hour of the program, we're going to talk about a recent suicide of a Rutgers University student threw himself off a bridge, and the lie that sex is no big deal, just recreational. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. Then Dr. Dan Gard joins us to continue our Women in the Bible series. Today we'll talk about a woman you know, Jezebel, and we think her daughter, that you probably don't know, but she was almost as bad, Athaliah, from the Old Testament. Dr. Dan Gard of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will round off these 2 hours of Issues, Etc. with Colleen Carol Campbell of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, talking about an online sex diary that's made the news. A co-ed at Duke University put it together, 42 pages, replete with a PowerPoint presentation on her sexual conquests. And, of course, that will occasion a conversation on the sexual ethos on college and university campuses. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page and comment on Deliver Us From Evil, facebook.com/issuesetc. Best question or comment during this pastor's roundtable, we'll get a pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Joining us for our pastor's roundtable, here in the studio, Pastor Stephen Tice. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Stephen, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Also here in the studio, Pastor Peter Kirby. He is pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. Peter, welcome back to you.
It's good to be here.
And on the phone from Alexandria, Virginia, where he is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Pastor Christopher Eskett. Christopher, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Great to be here.
Christopher, for you first. Luther says this is the summary of the entire prayer. When we pray, deliver us from evil, what are we asking for in a nutshell?
Well, it's a little bit tricky, at least the way that it comes out in English, because the word in Greek can be taken to mean evil as a concept, or the way that Luther seems to take it most frequently is evil as a person, namely the evil one, the devil. So we're wrapping everything up by casting ourselves into the hands of God, asking him to save us from the devil and all the devil's work, death and the destruction that he works among us.
Steve, does it really make much difference whether or not we, which side we kind of fall on that question? Evil, the general bad stuff that happens, yeah, or evil one? Does it make much difference, Steve?
Well, In the logical outcome, I would say no, because devil's attacks against us are the evils that God will deliver us from. But on the other hand, when we say deliver us from evil, we are specifically talking about God taking us out of the evil that sin brings to the world. So there is a degree to which we're saying, God, we want you to take us home, get us away from not just Satan's influence, but the things happening in the world.
Luther, yeah, take us home out of the veil of tears, the valley of sorrow.
Peter, Luther names the stuff. He goes back through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and he says the devil's constantly at work to undermine or to thwart God's name being hallowed, his will being done, us receiving daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, and so forth. I think a lot of people think about the devil just a mischief maker. Luther seems to have a more serious, far more serious and dire picture of this character.
I think he's a very serious adversary. That's what his name means in the Hebrew, is the one who accuses and causes problems for God's people. And so he is serious. I mean, in terms of the problems that he can cause, Luther even gives that understanding that he is the one who's keeping God's name from being hallowed, who's keeping God's will from being done in the earth. So he kind of, you know, all things come together under Satan and the work that he is doing in the world. But ultimately, we have to remember that God is more powerful. I always say, like, Satan punches a time clock for God. I mean, God allows him a certain reign in which he can do his activity, but ultimately God uses even the evil and the suffering that Satan causes, he brings it all together for good for his people and for the church.
What is Satan's ultimate goal? To speculate here, maybe we don't even need to speculate, Christopher, but if he only gets one thing done in a day, what does he want to do?
Well, Satan wants to rob us of our faith. He wants to drive us away from God. I mean, Luther talks about his harassment of the body, driving men to insanity, driving men to suicide, and so forth. But I think with suicide, and I notice that's coming up later in your program as well. But the idea of despairing, of turning away from God, not trusting in God—that's really what he wants.
There's a famous—you put me in mind of a famous Luther. I don't know if it's an anecdote or whether we really find it any place, but Luther talking about a suicide saying, and he blames the devil in this case, Stephen. He says the devil's like a robber that ambushes a man in the woods and hounds him and hounds him and hounds him until the man takes his own life. Is this a good, accurate picture of what the devil would do to each one of us if God gave him opportunity?
Yeah, Satan obviously wants to destroy us personally, but also life as God's created it. He hates God. He hates what God has made. And so if God didn't intervene, and, you know, we didn't really get into this too much, but just to bump up against it, Satan is an angel who has fallen. Therefore, the holy angels are also involved in this petition. When we ask God to deliver us from evil, one of the ways he does that is with the good angels. But yeah, Satan would hound us, chase us, lead us to assume God can't deliver us. And finally, that despair that comes in leading to one ending their own life, Satan wants to destroy. He's a murderer from the beginning.
All right. There's some words here from Luther that need some explanation, Pastor Kirby. He says, there is nothing for us to do upon earth but to pray against this arch enemy without stopping. For, and we've all touched upon this so far in a conversation, for unless God preserved us, we would not be safe from this enemy for even an hour. Is there much that God is doing already constantly that we are unaware of to answer this prayer even before we're praying it?
Yes, because he, again, is concerned about his people and affairs on the earth, and so he is working, as we see in the explanations in some of the earlier petitions, even without our prayer, you know, his will comes. I mean, his will is done, his kingdom comes. Those kind of things are done without our prayer. So he is working himself apart from the prayers that we do, but he encourages also to see that he acts according to our prayers, and so encourages us to pray, to be constantly praying to be delivered from evil as well.
Pastor Eskett, with only about a minute before our break, I guess we think about the devil in too light of terms, or maybe not at all. It sounds as though in the mind of our Lord who gave us this prayer to pray ultimately against the devil, it should be perhaps even our chief concern in asking for these things.
No, no, you're absolutely right. I think we think of the devil in Hollywood terms and thus as something unreal, something for the horror movies, but not actually something that would trouble us. And the devil prowls about like a roaring lion, but as I think is much more common in our age, as C.S. Lewis so eloquently put it in the Screwtape Letters, that if the devil can convince us that that he's no threat, that he doesn't exist, that he's not there, then he's really won most of the battle already. So you're absolutely right. It's far more serious of a threat than we take it.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation on the Lord's Prayer, Deliver Us from Evil. It is the summary petition of them all. I invite your questions or comments on this Thursday afternoon, October the 14th. Our call-in number here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can visit our Facebook fan page and put a question or a comment there. We have left a place for you to do so, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Our pastor's roundtable this Thursday afternoon, Pastor Christopher Eskett, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, Pastor Stephen Tice, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois, and Pastor Peter Kirby. He pastors Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We recently passed 5,000 fans there at our Facebook fan page. Thanks to all our fans for helping us do that. And if you're not a fan already, when you visit Facebook, facebook.com/issuesetc, just click like and you'll become a fan. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Issues Etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
Me damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name.
We're talking about Deliver Us from Evil. The Lord's Prayer is the subject of our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Christopher Eskett, Pastor Stephen Tyson, Pastor Peter Kirby, all talking about this petition. And Janice in Clarksville, Tennessee, joins us. Janice, thanks for waiting on the line.
Thank you.
What's your question or comment?
I had a question about the verses in 1 John where it says, we talked about the world, the flesh, and the devil. How does the petition and the prayer relate to the verses in 1 John? Because it sounds sort of like in 1 John, I'm asking for protection not only from the devil, but from myself and from the world. How does this relate for the good pastors, please?
That's a great question, Janice, and thanks for listening in Tennessee. Pastor Eskett, we'll take you, let you have first crack at that one.
I think she's probably referring to, I was just trying to scramble and look that up there, I don't think we want to look at evil simply as the devil's work. Obviously, he brings it into the world through temptation, but now as because of the corrupt nature that we have, original sin, there's plenty of sin that we ourselves can, and plenty of mischief that we can get ourselves into. So we're praying in this petition for protection and deliverance, you know, from the devil, from death. But of course, we also need to pray for protection of our own sinful tendencies and the allurements and temptations of the world.
On the question of what exactly we were praying against, Sarah via email says some translations say deliver us from the evil one. We talked about this a little bit before. Which is the better translation, Pastor Tyson? Your opinion. Which is the best way of translating Jesus' words here when he instructs us to pray, deliver us from evil?
I think traditionally, historically, we have prayed this prayer in English, deliver us from evil, because if we limit it to just the evil one, then we will miss what was mentioned earlier, our own sinful nature. And when we say the world, that doesn't mean so much the created world as it means those who are outside of the body of Christ and hate the church. If we limit it just to the evil one, then we've kind of ignored the other part of the attack, and that's those that are haters of the church and will interact with us and attack us. In our culture today, we hear different ways that happens, either in print or verbally. But in my opinion, if we go with the evil one, we tend to miss that other chunk, which we're asking God to keep us safe from.
It sounds like it's an alliance that we're really talking about here. I mean, to one degree or another, the devil, our chief adversary, or Luther calls him our arch enemy, who calls into his service, as he can, our sinful flesh and the world. Is that a good way of looking at it, Pastor Kirby?
Yes, they all work together. And, you know, in a sense, Satan is able to carry out his work and even kind of mask it behind, you know, the things that we would do when we give in to temptation, when we sin, when we're kind of tripping up other people in those ways too. We're actually working as, you know, companions or something of Satan in what he's wanting to do.
Pastor Eskett, it's
somewhere, Luther, it may have been in the preceding petition in the Large Catechism, I don't quite recall, but, you know, Luther talks about the flesh tempting the young and the world tempting those who are older, and then for those who are spiritually mature, the devil attacks them or they have spiritual attacks. So there's plenty of evil that is not, if you will, directly the personal work of the devil, but it's wrought by it's wrought by the evil in our nature and in the world.
Well, while we may not distinguish between them in the petition per se, it seems as though the Bible does have particular remedies, if you will, to each of these as they present themselves. The devil, pray against him, seek God's deliverance. The world, live in but not of. And the flesh, Pastor Eskett, what is Scripture's remedy for our own sinful flesh?
Well, I suppose first of all you have to distinguish the first remedy is forgiveness. We make confession for the sins of our nature, both in the great prayer, the flood prayer that we're praying in baptism, that the baptismal candidate would be delivered from all that has been born in him from Adam and which he himself has added thereto. So the sin of our nature and our actual sins, or I like to say the sin that we are and the sin that we do.
So you're talking about repentance. Go ahead, Pastor Kirby.
I was going to say, let me say, too, that there is also a component of evil which is not necessarily related to Satan, but there are like natural disasters and things in the world because of the effect of sin in the world that causes a brokenness around us that we are also needing to be delivered from, that we also pray to God for as well. In addition to the spiritual aspects of what Satan is doing or what our sinful flesh is calling us into.
So evil in the philosophical sense, like problem of evil kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Getting back to that idea of remedy, though, this isn't a remedy because that would almost imply that it can be healed, and that doesn't really happen until death. But the flesh needs to be controlled, and so discipline. You know, St. Paul talks about, you know, I beat my body, I discipline it, keep it in subjection. And Luther, in the Small Catechism on the Lord's Supper, talks about fasting and bodily preparation being a fine outward training. So we need to do those things, but that's not going to heal the sinful flesh. It's just going to try to keep it in control so that it doesn't overwhelm and destroy us.
I think another element that we want to keep in mind here is that the overcoming of evil and the evil one is actually done in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so as we're praying this prayer, we're asking Christ to apply his work to us. And then the other side, which we sometimes overlook, we're also asking him to apply it to those who do not yet have faith, to reach the unbelievers, delivering them from evil in themselves and the evil of unbelief. So there's a mission element in this prayer that we sometimes overlook.
We're praying for their conversion, if you will?
Yeah, that's deliverance from evil, is to come out of unbelief into faith. And that's the only real deliverance from evil is the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so when we pray this, we do pray for those who do not yet believe.
I don't want to leave an impression here with our listeners. I think it was last week sometime, we had Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on here, and he was talking about the sinful flesh. And I can't remember what the context was, but he gave a great illustration. I wonder what you guys think about it. He said, it is like your neighbor who has a vicious pit bull that is hurting him, his family, essentially putting him, your neighbor, in constant danger. And the remedy of kind of pop American Christianity, if we make the comparison to our sinful flesh, is to say, well, we just train the dog and we'll have a well-behaved dog. And Pastor Wolfmiller says, no, you put the dog down.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing to do with that kind of a dog is to kill it. If you would, Pastor Eskett, talk about what the Bible would call essentially mortification of the flesh.
Yeah, that well, that's a good point. You've been playing that that quote, I think, at the beginning of some of the segments since he said that, and it was brilliant. I don't want to say there's a problem with it, but the sinful nature, the old Adam, is always with us. So we have, it's a constant work of putting him down. We can't ultimately kill him until we're dead. So so we have to constantly seek to seek to subdue him, and I think that first of all begins with repentance, and then is going to begin with continue with striving to do away with sin in our life, recognizing that that's never that work is never finished until we are in fact dead in this world.
Pastor Tice, how does God deliver us from evil? I mean, put it in concrete terms. When God answers this prayer,
mm-hmm.
what does it look like? What does he do?
Well, one of the things that God does when he delivers us from evil is he brings to us the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. He brings to us this knowledge that Christ has crushed the head of Satan. And this deliverance from evil comes to us first in our baptism, where there we do die to ourselves. And it comes to us when the Word of God touches us. And it also comes to us in daily living, if I can move to a first article realm here, when God establishes a government that limits and controls or restricts violence and evil in the world. And that's part of God's left-hand or alien work in that it's not for our salvation, but it is delivering us from evil.
The challenge here, too, is that you don't necessarily see when you're delivered from evil. We pray that prayer, and people are asking questions like, well, why do bad things happen to good people? So, you know, as people get sick or as they get into a disaster or something like that, they can ask about those situations. But there's so many situations that God delivers us from where we don't even see the bad that happened to us. You know, we were preserved in that case, and we give thanks.
We were ignorant about it, but the Lord did it anyway. Yeah,
it's that painting that we have in the Wilkin House. It's kind of a sappy little painting, but it's the picture of the two little children in the middle of this beautiful woods. There's a wooden bridge over a rushing stream, and the little boy is leaning out to pick a flower off of the bank for the little girl, and there's kind of the angel standing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hold of the scruff of his neck. He doesn't know it. I mean, little children and fools and people like me kind of live our lives
collectively unaware.
Oblivious of the dangers we put ourselves in or that are around us. And yet, there is God delivering us all the time. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some more time talking about deliver us from evil. If you have a question or a comment on how God does this, when he does it, why does it seem so often that he doesn't do it when we are assured by Scripture that he's always doing it? Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Visit the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Listener with the best question or comment during this hour will receive a pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. More on Deliver Us from Evil after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If pro-abortion members of Congress get their way, abstinence only until marriage programs will never be funded again. Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey and Representative Barbara Lee of California are introducing legislation to permanently end abstinence funding. All the while, billions have been spent on Planned Parenthood's agenda, which literally encourages sexual activity outside of marriage. It's ironic this majority in Congress and their president are trying to further their radical political agenda at a time new research shows abstinence really works. This is a clear lesson. You need to be careful who you vote for. If you help elect the right people on November 2nd, we'll be able to stop this legislation in its tracks. If not, your kids' welfare will be at risk.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Because that's when evil...
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 25 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable, dealing with the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Coming up next week on Issues Etc., we're going to have Reformation Week. That's the 18th through the 22nd of October here on Issues Etc. We're going to spend those 5 days with you and some of our best guests talking about some of the central teachings of the Lutheran Reformation apropos of the Sunday that comes up near the end of that week. Now, we want you to help us promote Reformation Week for us, and you do this very simply by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click the support page. Right at the top of the support page,
We have, according to your time zone, a bulletin insert that you can download, print off, and put in your Sunday bulletin this Sunday. You're going to want to do it right away because Thursday, usually they're getting everything put together or have it already put together. Go there, issuesetc.org, click support, get your bulletin insert for your congregation's bulletin, and let your fellow parishioners know about Issues Etc. Reformation Week coming up and beginning October the 18th here on the program. Kathy's calling from St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I just have a question of how we define evil seems different than how God defines evil. And could you talk about that?
Yes, thank you very much. Now, this is something I think we mentioned off the air, but Pastor Tice, we are not the best judges of what is evil and what isn't, and especially in that philosophical sense, what's bad for us or
sure.
bad to
mm-hmm.
us, as opposed to how God sees it. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, the Lord is often doing things that we do not perceive, things of which we are not aware, and if you and I have a plan, what we would like to do, say we're going to going to go visit family, get together with some people we know, and something comes up that intervenes and prevents us from doing that, we might think of that as having been bad or harmful, when in reality, God was preventing something worse from happening to us. Or, as Joseph said when his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt, you meant it for harm, God meant it for good. It took almost 2 decades for the good to show up. So
It was really bad in between.
Yeah. Yeah, and this understanding of long-term or end result, we don't see that right away. We see how it affects us immediately. And so sometimes our perception of what's harmful is wrong, as well as what's good for us. We think it's good for us, and in fact, it's actually detrimental. And so we go back to God's Word to try to find His answer to those questions.
Can I jump in there?
Sure.
Kind of on a different tack, it reminded
sure.
me of the... I think it's the Heidelberg Disputation of Luther, where he talks about a theologian of glory calls good evil and evil good. A theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is. And then Luther goes on to talk about how what we would in the world look at as a good work, something good and constructive for civil society, Luther talks about how that can actually be evil because it drives us away from faith in God's grace and teaches us to look only at our works, to take pride in ourselves. So here's something the world looks at as good, but it in fact is evil.
This is from Jeremiah in Hawaii via Facebook. He says, in yesterday's Issues Etc. sermon review, we heard Rick Warren of Saddleback Church constantly asserting that God has lots of blessings in the forms of earthly comfort, such as wealth, companionship, happiness, stored up for those who place enough trust in His promises. Actually, he even said that stored up for those who obey Him. How does the fact that we are encouraged daily to pray, deliver us from evil, challenge the notion of such a prosperity gospel that asserts that if we believe enough, our lives will be comfortably blessed? I think Pastor Warren said all your needs will be met. Talk about that, Pastor Kirby. This one comes from Robert in Fort Collins, Colorado. He says, is man's free will a source of evil? Pastor Eskett.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because our will, while it is free in the sense of, being able to choose to go to this city or that, to get this job or that, to get married or not, our will is wrapped up in sin. It only desires that which pleases myself. So that again, is part of mortifying that sinful flesh, of putting that down, of killing that desire. So absolutely, our will is inclined towards the evil, even when it seems to be doing something good.
Pastor Tice, it sounds like praying both deliver us from evil and thy will be done must come together, since we have to admit we don't always know God's designs in the circumstances.
Certainly, yeah. And we had been talking a little bit earlier about Daniel's prayer in Daniel 10, where he had a vision from God, and then he had prayed for God to give him the interpretation, and the Lord sent the answer, dispatched it immediately, yet there was a warfare invisible to him between the spiritual forces of evil and the angels of God. And so sometimes what we don't perceive is that God is doing something beneficial, so we ask that his will be done, and in that praying, he delivers us from evil. You know, if you think about what Jesus had to deal with when he was tempted by Satan, Matthew chapter 4, as he's walking toward the cross, and Peter says to him, "Never, you'll never die, Lord, we won't let that happen." He was always fighting, and he literally turns to Peter and calls him the devil. So that we see that, you know, the Lord's will being done may not look like the Lord's will to other people all the time. And so as Christians, we struggle with this need to say, what is God guiding us to? And where do we find this in God's word? How do we know that this agrees with what God intends? Well, we always have to weigh it against what God's already revealed instead of saying, well, we don't know what God wants to do here, so we can't say what God's will is. We say, we know God's will is that we be rescued from evil, that Christ had to go to the cross to reach the objective. Therefore, we may have to suffer through this for God's will to be done, but God's will is that we be delivered from evil.
Is this a little bit like lead us not into temptation, Pastor Kirby, where we're going to be tempted? We're not asking God to remove temptation entirely from our lives. We are going to be tempted. We are asking God to deliver us from the temptations as through his word and his through repentance and those things.
The point is, again, as we said, we live in a broken world that is under the influence of the effects of sin ever since the time of the garden. And so we cannot get away from that until God delivers us from this world at the return of Jesus Christ, and we have an eternity with him. So as long as we are in this world, we pray that God, I guess, would lessen the evil that can come upon us, whether that be spiritual evil or physical things that can affect our flesh. And so it is a prayer, it's a wish, a desire, and a trust in God that when we give that to him, he will work out his good and blessed will for us.
Now, I wonder if they don't go together like there's that passage in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10, where it talks about God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, but will provide the way of escape. And that kind of seems to be the pattern here, the sixth petition, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I suppose we could paraphrase, but, you know, provide for us the way of escape and don't let the evil one overwhelm us in our temptation.
Near the end of his explanation of this, Pastor Escott, Luther talks about the necessity of faith. And it's in connection with the word amen that we'll revisit in a few minutes. But he says, this means that we do not doubt that our prayer is surely heard and that what we pray shall be done. This is nothing else than the word of undoubting faith, which does not pray on a dare, but knows that God does not lie to him, for he has promised to grant it. Therefore, where there is no such faith, there cannot be true prayer either. What's Luther saying? About a minute.
Well, we should be absolutely certain that he will do what we are asking for, and I think that, you know, if you look at the word deliver, throughout the New Testament, that word is used to describe the work of Jesus. And so, you know, in our faith, we're asking, deliver us from evil. And then we look at Jesus in faith and say, amen, Jesus has already delivered me. And there's one passage, I think it's in, where is that? That is in 2 Corinthians 1. It uses deliver three times. Who delivered us from so great a faith and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So that's what we are saying, I think, by amen. It's already done in Jesus. So we are expressing confidence in that.
Then with only about 30 seconds, Pastor Escott, does this mean that if I doubt at all, God does not hear my prayer?
Well, we always have to say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, where part of the flesh is that we are going to doubt. God is still going to hear our prayer. So I think we're praying in the middle of the doubt, you know, drive away that doubt from me, rescue me, save me from it.
Pastor Christopher Eskett is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, part of our Pastor's Roundtable. There will be 10 more minutes on the subject of Deliver Us from Evil. On the other side of this break, Pastor Stephen Tice, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois, and Pastor Peter Kirby, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. Now, we've been working largely from the large catechism, but there's an elegance to the small catechism here where it says, we pray in this petition as the summary that our Father in heaven would deliver us from all kinds of evil, of body and soul, property and honor. And finally, and this is what we'll talk about on the other side of the break, and finally, when our last hour shall come, we pray that he would grant us a blessed end. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And graciously take us from this vale of tears to himself in heaven. We'll talk about that after this.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable, Deliver Us from Evil. Pastor Eskett, you raised this first, I think in your very first response in our conversation here. You raised the phrase, veil of tears, and I don't think anyone's mentioned it explicitly, but the other term of art that Luther uses here is blessed death, which to us in 21st century America sounds like an oxymoron. Death is just, you know, bad, and how could it be a blessed death? So let's explore both of those terms, if you would. First, blessed death, and then how Luther characterizes this life as a veil or a valley of tears.
Well, in our society, I think people do think of a blessed death as a death free from pain. You know, we don't want to have some protracted illness, be stuck in a nursing home or hospice care forever and ever, but just, you know, go quickly. But that's not at all, I think, what the scriptures or what Luther will mean by a blessed death, but rather that it's to die in faith, to not waver or turn away at the end. And so this world is a veil of tears. I remember as a child, I was very confused because I thought of a veil as the kind of thing that would go over a bride's face. I didn't quite understand what it meant, but veil means valley here in this case, and the world is our life in this world is a journey through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't think that simply means a lot of external suffering. One can have a very happy and prosperous life, but this is a graveyard that we are living and moving in, and it is filled with the suffering of our own sin, our psychological and spiritual torments, and we are praying that God would rescue us from this place and this bondage of death.
What does a good death look like, Pastor? I mean, most people say, I want to go quick in my sleep, but if I got to be conscious, maybe hit by a bus and killed instantly, and that would be a good death. What does a good death look like in Holy Scripture?
Well, a good death is living to our end in faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. In the explanation, Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, he talks about one of the works of the Holy Spirit being to keep us in the true faith unto our end. And that's what we want to do, is to not only live now at the present time in that faith, but continue to be kept in that faith unto the end. And then when we when Jesus returns, when we go to be with him, we are having been delivered from evil. You know, in a sense, I think what Luther's understanding is all life in this world is a constant experience of that evil and of the struggle with death and the effects of sin. And when we leave this world to be with Christ, that then we are being delivered from that evil.
You know, it might just be then that the quick and speedy death that everyone thinks is so wonderful is actually not the blessed death. I mean, what we really want is opportunity for repentance, opportunity to hear the word of God. I've had the case where people who have wandered away from the church end up in the hospital with some kind of, you know, cancer or terminal disease, and then it becomes a wonderful opportunity as they are suffering to be called back to. Called back to the faith of their baptism, to hear the scriptures. I think about what I want, what a blessed death for me would be, is I sure hope there's an opportunity for some pastor to come and hold up the crucifix before my eyes and, you know, to pray the Psalms with me. That, I think, would be a blessed death.
How tragic is it then, Pastor Tice, that in much of American Christianity, they don't talk about death? That is not a subject to be broached. It just simply doesn't tickle people's ears to hear, mm-hmm. and much less a blessed death. And they tend to avoid the reality of the Christian life we've been discussing this entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is part of the, I'll call it the poverty of much Christian preaching, is we don't deal with the created world as part of God's design for eternity, in that we live as a, if I can borrow a phrase from Dr. Overdoon's book here, we are a pilgrim church. We are on our way someplace. This isn't where we're staying. Therefore, death is what we expect and anticipate happening as we move to our permanent home with God. And the other side of that is we don't deal with the fact that to die a blessed death, one has to be in faith. And that's a work of God. So this petition is a declaration that we believe Jesus is, in fact, reigning and that he has risen and ascended. He's the only one who can deliver us from these things.
Pastor Escott, I remember a pointed conversation at a pastor's conference years ago, not between myself and another pastor, between two other pastors. I was just listening in, but I've never forgotten it. One of the pastors said, you know, my job ultimately is to teach my people to die, and to die well. And the other pastor objected, saying, no, we're here to teach our people to live and to live well. How would you weigh in on that debate?
Well, I would definitely fall in with the pastor who said our job is to teach them how to die. And I think that if we teach them how to die, then the living, as it were, will follow. Somewhere, C.S. Lewis said, we Christians have ceased to have an impact on this world because we have stopped thinking about the next. So I think if we live our life in recognition that that our last hour may very well be drawing quite near, then the living will be done in the fear of God. But we don't need to hammer away at people about this or that program for their living. Teach them to die, and then they will know how to live, because it's in dying that we live. I think somebody wrote a book that was titled that.
Oh, me too. One of my favorite books, by the way. Here's a question from a listener in St. Louis. Does this petition, deliver us from evil, mean the spiritual evil first, then the physical evil? Or another way of saying it, does God always look at the spiritual evil as trumping the physical? Which is there a priority in God's mind here about the kind of evil that we're praying for here, Pastor Tice?
Yeah, the priority for us would be the spiritual evil is what we need deliverance from ultimately. We will, as Christians, we profess that we believe in the resurrection from the dead, which means that ultimately we will be delivered from physical evil. Christ's return will accomplish that for all people simultaneously. If they're in faith, then they have a blessed end with him. If they're out of that faith, then, you know, the physical end is bad. So we need a priority deliverance from the spiritual evil first. And that one is a continual struggle for us because our sin in us, our flesh tempts us. We're struggling against that all the time.
Pastor Kirby, finally for you, can this petition be for us kind of the Lord's Prayer in miniature? Can it be the prayer that we pray in virtually every circumstance of life when no other prayer comes to us?
Absolutely. And I think Luther understood that in both his explanation in the Small Catechism and the Large Catechism. He gives it understanding that this petition is a summary of all of the prayers that we have in the rest of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And so, you know, he says everything kind of comes down to here. Deliver us from evil is really the prayer of a Christian who doesn't know what else to pray. It's committing ourselves to the Lord's hands in trust in what he has done for us in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Peter Kirby is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. Pastor Kirby, thanks for coming out this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Pastor Stephen Tice is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Stephen, thank you for coming over.
My pleasure. Thank you much.
And although he didn't have to leave his study, we still thank Pastor Christopher Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Thank you very much, Christopher.
My privilege, and I've been just wanting to give a shout-out to Jeff for a long time. You guys have the best bumper music of all radio programs.
Thank you. Thank you. The guys in the control room deeply appreciate it. Janice in Clarksville, Tennessee, if you would send us your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll send you a pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Thanks to everybody who called, who emailed, left their comments at our Facebook fan page. Coming up in the second hour of the program, it'll be a busy remainder of the afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us to talk about a recent suicide of a Rutgers University student and the lie that sex is no big deal, it's just recreation. Dr. Dan Gard will join us to continue our Women in the Bible series today. Athaliah and Jezebel, daughter and mother, two of the most notorious women, but also ancestresses of Jesus. And then Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll talk about an online sex diary, 42 pages, masquerading a kind of a farce of a senior's thesis from a Duke University co-ed, regaling her friends online with her sexual exploits and conquests, replete with a PowerPoint presentation. And it's made some news, but it also says a lot about the sexual ethos on the campuses of colleges and universities. That'll round off today's Issues Etc. I like the picture that Pastor Eskett pointed us to of the Blessed Death. Wherever you are, faithful pastor comes and holds the crucifix, the cross of Jesus, before your closing eyes. And it seems to me that that is ultimately the answer to this prayer whenever we pray it, whether it is in the hour of our death or the hours we remain living here in this veil of tears. Deliver us from evil. The answer is, he has. There at the cross, Jesus hanging dead for us on the cross is God's answer to this prayer. He delivers us from evil with the deliverance that he gives us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He promises and delivers deliverance from every evil, and ultimately, yes, even that blessed death, eternal life, and our resurrection as well. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.